podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
In many respects, the future of combination products in the U.S. is already here. Nanotechnology, digital technologies, and other emerging ologies are combining to create novel drug delivery devices and diagnostics, and also driving corresponding advancements in their regulatory review and approval. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Today, I am speaking with Kim Quaintance-Lunn, who is vice president and head of U.S. regulatory policy for Bayer, after a long 14-year career at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Kim also serves on the program committee for DIA Combination Products 2017 conference, and she joins us today to discuss the latest in combination products and this upcoming DIA conference. Welcome, Kim, and thank you for being with us today. You and I have known each other a long time.
Yes, thank you very much for having me, Alberto. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you today about this topic.
Combination products as a class are not new. So what is new about some of today's combination products in your view?
Well, I think you really hit on it, Alberto, in your introduction when you talked about the innovation that is happening in this space within drug and device development as a whole. Today's drug products are much more sophisticated in how they are developed and the technology that is used to develop them. You mentioned nanotechnology and digital technology, and I think those are the areas where we're starting to see so many more great advances. I think when we thought of combination products previously, we thought of the more traditional products. You think of drug-eluting stents. You think of transdermal products and other places where the drug and device are combined. You also think of delivery devices and the systems that are developed to deliver the product to the patient. And I think so much innovation is happening within those spaces, especially when you think of some of the delivery devices. The systems that are being used to deliver the products to the patients now are much more easy to use. They're less complicated. They allow the patient a lot more flexibility and can be, you know, less painful to use as well. The other area where there is a lot of advancement, I think, has to do with the software that may accompany this. And I think this is a relatively new area where we've been able to get involved, where the software is actually part of the drug device combination product. So I see that there's this whole new wave of possibilities when we look at the development of medical products for the future. And with this come a lot of associated challenges from a regulatory perspective. But it's a whole new area where we have a lot of opportunity.
You mentioned software as being a very important ingredient of combination products, which leads me to ask, are we really looking for intelligent combination products where the software will actually provide a measure of artificial intelligence, if you will? And have you seen or can you foresee any examples of that?
I think that's just one of many possibilities that exist. I think that's one of the most exciting areas here. And again, one of the areas where we potentially see the most challenge from a regulatory perspective. I think when you look back to even five years ago, 10 years ago, and think about this, there were so many things that we never even considered as possibilities. So I can only imagine what the possibilities will be with respect to the use of things like artificial intelligence and smart devices as they pertain to the delivery of medical products going forward. I think, from my perspective, I feel like it's going to go far beyond where we could have ever foreseen right now. And the challenge that comes with that then, of course, is from a regulatory perspective, how do you regulate that? How do you get in front of an area that moves so quickly as to be hard to even predict?
Oh, indeed. And you have anticipated my next question. In fact, you were a regulator for 14 years at the FDA. So from your perspective, what important regulatory changes have you seen or can you foresee in relation to combination product over the past decade, over the next decade?
Well, I think we are definitely moving in the right direction. If you look at recent activities out of FDA, they've obviously understand too how important this area is and how the regulations around it need to continue to move forward along with the technology. we've seen recently the passage of 21st Century Cures, which looks at how combination products are approved. There are specific provisions within the Prescription Drug User Fee Act agreements that were just signed into law a few weeks ago, specifically about combination products and how those products are going to be reviewed and how the different product centers are going to work to achieve that. We've also seen that the Center for Devices will be instituting a dedicated unit for digital health in order to start to address these. So I think that from the regulator perspective, the agency is well poised to continue to progress. But one of the other interesting things about this is not only the regulations being so different, but the industry models are different as well. When you think about this, the pace for development around device development and certainly the digital component of this is a much faster pace than what we see for traditional drug development. So trying to bring all of this together, it becomes much more of a challenge. So I think moving beyond this time where the agency centers were consulting with each other about these issues, I think what we're seeing now is one where the regulatory centers are becoming much more collaborative in moving forward and working to help promote the development and advancement of these important products.
Your comments as to relative timing of the development of devices versus drugs suggests that we might be looking at many devices being ready to go to market, but they have to wait for the drug to make it through the regulatory process. Is that what you meant?
Not necessarily. I think the bigger challenge will be more along the lines of the initial approval, the syncing of them up is the challenge, yes, and that the devices go faster. But I think the need to adapt and be adaptive by the agency really comes at the products that are regulated as drugs or biologics primarily, and the pace of the changes that are made and how to manage that. And so the agency has been very involved in trying to streamline and make that process much more efficient and looking at how to more quickly recognize those changes and get them implemented. We all agree that we all share that same goal of getting those products that are good, that are safe, that are effective out to the patients just as quickly as possible. And so many of these things, I think, on the device side are advances that can only benefit the patients at the end of the day. So again, I think the agency has really been looking at this and understanding the issues and the challenges associated with this and moving to a much more collaborative model versus the one that is stuck in the traditional pathways that may be driven by one center or the other.
So combination products are bringing FDA centers together in a more collaborative way?
I think so, yes.
Moving to the patient, and you mentioned patients a moment ago, the voice of the patient these days is a hot topic, as we all know. So I wanted to know from you, has incorporating the patient perspective changed combination product development in any way or in a meaningful way? And if so, how has it done that?
Incorporation of the patient perspective has changed all medical product development, not just combination product development. Patients as a whole have become so much more informed. I think our healthcare medical advances have been such that patient care is much more self-directed, and everybody is moving in this direction. So industry is moving in this, and in that we are engaging patients. We're not only listening to them, but we're actively engaging and asking for their input as we begin our development programs. And we're seeing patients more as experts now, their own key opinion leaders, if you will, or thought leaders, whereas before we often relied on physicians to serve that role for them. And I think the regulators, again, have moved to this position as well. And you'll see this in the recently passed 21st Century Cures bill, as well as the PDUFA 6 agreements, in that incorporating patient voice into regulatory decision making has become one of the key initiatives that FDA is engaged in. I think with respect to combination products, there's a great ability here to consider how the patient uses your product and goes beyond just simply making sure that they can read the instructions and understand it, but make sure that it's a product that is easy for them to use, can help them to improve their lives or the lives of the caregivers that are taking care of them. And by understanding their wants and needs, which is critical in everything that we do, we can help develop things that more adequately address what their concerns are.
And this must have implications for patient compliance with use of the combination product, right? If there is a comfort on the part of the patient and understanding of the instrumentation, there should be better compliance with the use of such combination products. Does that stand to reason?
Absolutely. I think any one of us has been a patient, and anything that we use, the easier it is for us to use, the easier it is for us to follow the regimen that we should be undertaking and whatever tools can help us. And again, getting back to that digital technology, whatever tools can be associated with that to help increase our compliance and make these things, again, easier to use, safer to use, less painful to use in any form of that word, I think are going to be beneficial. So yes, definitely.
Before combination products can be used, they have to be made. They have to be manufactured. So in your view, what is the single biggest challenge to manufacturing combination products in the U.S. or around the world?
You know, I don't really think there is one challenge, the single biggest challenge per se. I really think it is more about the pace of innovation versus the pace of regulation. This is the tremendous challenge that we face, but again, also a tremendous opportunity. And I think the time is right for us to be able to work with the agency to help them understand what the challenges we are facing as an industry, as they further develop their policies and procedures around the regulation of these products.
As a former regulator, can you provide some specific examples of how FDA's approach to regulatory science has helped the agency keep pace with the scientific progress that you've mentioned in modern combination products?
There's a lot of opportunities that exist within the realm of regulatory science, specifically when you look at where we are in how we can utilize real-world evidence and innovative clinical trial designs. I think there's a real opportunity here to bring that science forward, to partner with the innovation that's happening and help make this process such that we can quickly get those products out there and available for the patients. The digital health area also brings a lot of progress, again, that we haven't even dreamed about. And I think with FDA's efforts to really engage and move forward and have listening sessions to understand the concerns of the industry, I think we have a real opportunity for all of us to be on the same path together and to work to find a way to get those good products out there as quickly as possible.
Do regulators in general have the ability to keep pace with an industry whose pace is accelerating, in fact, in this area and other areas as well? Or are regulators destined to always be a little bit slower because they need to take their time to evaluate and make decisions?
As a former regulator myself, there is the need to be thorough in your evaluation because you are setting precedent and it is your role to promote and protect the public health. But at the same time, the agency understands the need to also be flexible in looking at how advancements are being made. By nature of the work that we were doing, the regulators generally won't be at the forefront because they're not the ones doing the R&D and the development. They're the ones doing the review and having the discussions. But I still hesitate to characterize them as lagging behind.
Finally, Kim, you're on the program committee for this DIA conference on combination products. So I wanted to ask you, what specific ideas do you hope that the attendees will take away from the conference and bring back to their workplaces?
First, I want to say that I'm very proud to be a part of the program committee for this conference. I think that this is a field where we are really breaking new ground and setting new precedent from an innovation standard and from a regulatory standpoint. So I think once attendees coming to this conference, we'll have the opportunity to hear discussions about many hot topics in this area, you know, focusing on global challenges, with the development of combination products, focusing on issues related to good manufacturing practices or GMPs, talking about labeling for products and complex generics. So there's a lot of areas where these discussions will be happening, and attendees will have the opportunity to hear from and interact with people from the industry who have experience in this area, but also from FDA leadership who will be well represented at this conference. So my hope is that attendees will be able to come away with a greater understanding of all of the new regulatory tools that are going to be available to them that will help them to further advance the development and approval of combination products.
That brings us to the end of our conversation, Kim, and I want to thank you very much for sharing your insights with us today.
Well, thank you again, Alberto, and I hope that we will be able to see our listeners at the conference on October 25th and 26th.
Good luck with your conference, and for the IEA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.